Hey, Mitch.
Hey.
How you doing this week?
Fantastic.
Hey, so we're wrapping up this series that we're doing.
What the tech, man?
And we're kind of talking about a little bit today about misinformation.
Which you will not find on this podcast. It was 100% not deliberate if you do find it.
It was not.
We're not trying to cause any misdirection. There were no illusions.
Yes. We've actually discussed whether or not we should have a disclaimer at the beginning of the show as to, you know, like, whatever, that this is for entertainment purposes. Don't base your salvation off of what we say.
Yeah, we're going to try to point you in the right direction, but don't use us as a sole source for anything.
Not even gardening.
No, definitely not gardening.
So I want to talk, Mitch, tell me about a time you encountered some misinformation online or through the media or whatever. What made you realize that it was false, and how did that kind of change your perspective on it?
Well, I have a funny story. This was from yesterday, 2 days ago. We recently traveled. I was on a trip with my wife. And we were sitting at a restaurant in an airport in another country, waiting on a plane. And on the television across the room, there wasn't any audio or anything like that. And it was these guys slapping each other. All right.
Okay.
And
like a competition slap? Okay.
Oh,
okay,
yeah. It was a slapping competition. It was sanctioned.
Yeah.
You know, Monster was like the sponsor, right?
And everything.
Oh, there were multiple referees. Okay. There were officials. One guy was guilty of a foul.
Wow.
I could tell. It was yellow. It said foul.
Didn't hit him in the right place or
I guess.
Something?
I don't know. But they're sitting across from a table like you and I. Well, they're standing across from a table like you and I. And they had very specific feet mats they had to put their feet on.
Okay.
And they were kind of be squared. And then they take these practice swings. And they, you know, that guy just had to stand there and take it.
Wow.
You know, he was... And he slapped in the face.
Wow.
And then it was the other guy's turn to slap him back. Right? And
so I think some of our viewers may want to see this between you and me, but it's not gonna happen.
But it's not gonna happen on this episode. But once we reach 100 subscribers,
we might.
We're gonna have
a slap-a-thon.
A slap-a-thon right here.
Well, I'll turn my other cheek.
Live.
So they're slapping each other.
So it was bizarre, right?
Yeah.
Super bizarre. So we at home, we're talking with the kids, and I was like, oh my gosh, guys, I saw the craziest thing. So I'm telling the boys, and like, oh yeah, I've seen that. I was like, where have you seen this, right? And it's like, oh yeah, there's the one guy got his ear slapped off.
What?
And I said, what do you mean? He goes, oh yeah, his ear just
slapped
his ear off.
Wow.
And I was like, no. And Owen goes, give me your phone. So I give him my phone. He Googles, you know, slap competition. Guy's ear gets slapped. Whatever he does, and comes up with this little video. And I don't know whether it's a Insta or a Tick or whatever it is, but it's a little. Yeah. It's a
reel or something.
It's a whiplash or
it's like a loop or
loopy
something.
Thing. Yeah. You know, and sure enough, this guy hits this guy, and his ear flies off.
Oh,
right,
my goodness.
And no one's like, see. And I was like, ears don't come off like
that's
that,
crazy.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Unless it was a prosthetic or
right,
something, like, like that's not a an ear's it. It's not a thing, right?
I guess
unless there's something, unless there's another thing behind the thing,
sure.
Right? It came off like a magnet coming off a fridge. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So what did you find out? Was it fake?
I don't know. I didn't look into it, but I was like,
so you don't even know if it's misinformation.
It's just not real. Like, ears don't do that, right?
What if it was like over the course of 4 or 5 slaps and it was tearing each time, and then that was just the one that
I don't know.
Took it off.
I guess you gotta watch it. You tell me.
Okay. But you didn't even know if it was fake or not. You just assume it's fake.
What I'm saying is I very heavily questioned whether this gentleman's ear detached from his head explosively like it was portrayed in the video. My 11-year-old did not.
Wow.
He was like, look at this.
Okay.
Guy's ear flew off.
All right. All right.
You know, at a certain point, like the video could be doctored in a way to where a whole arm flies off. And then you'd be like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Like the slapping arm. Like he slaps and then like the guy's head doesn't move and the arm just... falls off like his
head.
Yeah,
and then you'd be like, wait a minute.
That doesn't look right.
But at a certain level, and for each individual, I think there's a certain time in which our, I don't want to call it common sense because it's not common, right? But there's something inside of us says, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think with machine learning and artificial intelligence generated imagery and editability of stuff, I think it's not just articles or stories or stuff that try to really use words to convince you of things.
Mm-hmm.
It's these images that are worth 1,000 words, right? Mm-hmm. That can so easily be doctored to show something that they're not, something that may never have even happened.
Yeah.
And then we put the two things together and it seems to be super convincing, but it may just be not even good Photoshop.
Yeah, I always think about the times, and I'm trying to purposely be vagueful with it a little bit, but I also think about
not
the times
specific as an ear attaching.
Like the times when I believe that we sometimes believe what we want to believe in something. So if something pops up, especially online in our feed, and it fits our narrative, we're very quick to believe it. And I always think about whenever there's an incident. Like, let's say, you know, a few weeks ago, we had a couple, we had a helicopter and a plane kind of collide, right? Some information comes out early on, almost inevitably that gets picked up and everybody just talks about it. And then as the investigation happens, you find out whatever that early information was is completely not accurate, right? And I think what happens is that we have a tendency because we want to know quickly what happened. We want to know when we're living in this age of information where we can get information rapidly. So we want to know rapidly. So when somebody says something and it fits our narrative, then we're quickly to be like, see, I knew it, you know, like whatever, you know, that helicopter shouldn't have been there, you know, or whatever, right? Like,
yeah, I'm just not wired that way. Like, I really don't care whether this guy's ear flopped off or not.
No, you don't.
Right? I didn't even investigate to see if it was. I was just like,
I know, but I think that for some of us, like your kids, right? Like, they just took it wholesale. They're like, this guy's ear flew off.
Yeah,
right?
don't get slapped. Your ear could detach from your head.
But I feel like the opposite is true, right?
Which I do feel. If you're out there listening with your good ear and it flew off in that slap fight, I'm sorry.
Leave a comment because we'd like to know what happened. Because
I would like to know exactly what happened.
But if it doesn't match our thought process, then at that point we may look into it more, right? I see it happen all the time, especially with like rapid, like news breaking events, right? Heck, you can look at the weather, right? You know, like ask any, go to Price Chopper right now and ask people, hey, how many inches of snow are they calling for?
That'd be a good one.
Right?
That'd be a good one.
And just see the range of like, you know, oh, we're gonna get 42 inches of snow.
That
it's
would
gonna
be
fun. Nuts.
Go down to Price Chopper, people, you know, and just walk around and anybody whose cart's full of milk and eggs, right?
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
ask for the prediction.
Oh gosh.
Then go over to the state highway barn where the guys that are gonna drive the plow.
Yes.
And see what they think.
Yeah. And you know, and that's the thing. That's the age that we live in because we get. Our information from social media, well, not everybody in social media is a meteorologist that have looked at, you know, the National Weather Service's forecast and looking at models and stuff. They're just like, oh, it's going to be a crazy winter weather storm, you know, or whatever, right? So with that kind of in your mind, if you think back 40 years, right, it wouldn't have been the same. You would watch the news, you'd read the newspaper, see the forecast, watch the news. Okay, well, let me check in on tomorrow, you know, or whatever. So how do you think this information age, this way that we can rapidly get information, how do you think that it's really changed the way that you consume and process information today than, say, when you were, you know, a kid or a teenager, even in the 90s. I don't know.
I would think you and I in the same generation have a, unlike other generations, I guess generations before us, would be this way now. But we have a foot on both sides of the news cycle, nightly news versus a 24-hour news cycle.
Right.
I think that's an interesting transitional point, where I think you and I have a much better understanding of there's an entertainment value that's being provided,
right,
along with information.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so many options. So people will choose what they feel to be the most entertainingly delivered information.
Mm.
Right?
Yes, agreed.
So, and I think that's probably always been true, but the options are more, the breadth of options have grown exponentially.
Yep.
But our kids' generation, when you exponential options from, you know, when you think exponentially, right? There's a slow, and then it just starts spiking.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like probably, and maybe that's completely wrong, but I feel like when you go from, three options for information to 300 options for information, it's like, whoa, that's a crazy transition. When you go from 300 to 3,000, is it really that noticeable? When you go from 3,000 to 3 million, right? Like, at what point are you always, you've always been in a world that has an overwhelming, unconscionable quantity of information options?
Yeah. And I think part of it for you and my generation changed with cable.
Yeah, because, right, like, that's where I'm talking about the
you know, cable, satellite TV, then you got access to, like, C-SPAN, right? Which is, I think, in my memory, one of the first, like, 24-hour news was C-SPAN,
my
right?
grandpa had this most awesome little radio thing. It was a box, about a 4-inch square. It had an antenna that pulled up out of the – yep, sorry, cube. Antenna that pulled up out of the top. The top of it was black and, like, perforated speaker material. And there was a big ivory-looking clicky button on it that clicked down, and it turned on.
Yeah.
And I never investigated the thing. I don't think it had multiple radio channels. Oh. I think it was just a radio. It was just preset to something,
to,
right,
some channel.
Right? And, at lunch, you click it on, listen to Paul Harvey, we'd get the rest of the story, and that was it.
Wow.
Like, that was the option that we had going on there with that clicky down radio.
Yeah, so, like, you know, when you change from, I don't know if you grew up, if your parents ever watched,
I still haven't grown up,
60 Minutes, right? Like, and not, Andy Rooney, right? Loved Andy Rooney at the end. But that was like the weekly, like the world news, kind of weekly world, local, not local, but, like, you know, national kind of news that my parents would watch, right? We would watch the local news after, like, Wheel of Fortune or Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune. Then we watch the local news, get the weather, right? Some, like, local stuff. And then we'd eat dinner, do our thing. And then, you know, on Sunday, we'd watch 60 Minutes. You know, if you think about, to your point now, how many, like, 1-hour news shows could you watch weekly, if not daily, right now, right? To get the same kind of content. And so it definitely does kind of
So an option change. Options are great. It also changes. And I don't think this is where I was talking we're talking to our confirmation class last week about popular culture and my co-leaders in our generation of I guess that cusp between millennial and Gen X, right? Yes. Right about there, Gen X to millennial. That anyway, that area, but all generations that had what we refer to as popular culture, pop culture, right? Because it was big cultural things that everybody had
a movie that everybody saw
had exposure and experience to.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that there's so much content now that what makes it to pop culture definitions for this next generation, it gets a little fuzzier.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you and I, every Disney movie that came out in our childhood was part of pop culture.
Right.
There was one a year at best, right?
Right, and, yeah, yeah.
And it was, it competed with one other animated movie.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a reference with both of them. Like, it was baked into our American childhood experience. Right. But...
And there's so many movies now that it's hard to...
That never even make the big screen. They're, you know, independently produced and... On streaming services and
we've had this conversation before in terms of not, I don't think on the show, but off the show where
I'm not saying any of this is bad.
No. But like you can have really good TV shows that a lot of people don't see.
Yeah, and don't know about.
And don't know about because there's just so many of like there's so many good TV shows that you and I could sit down and be like, oh, have you seen this? Yeah. No, I haven't. Have you seen this? And that wasn't like it when we were kids. When we were kids, everybody have seen the same shows.
And like I'd say, you could dial this back 200 years and you and I could be having the same conversation, obviously not with microphones on a podcast, but we could be talking about books. There's many great stories that have been written that will never be consumed in mass quantity to become popular culture, right? Yeah. And we could be having the same conversation.
For sure. For sure.
We have the same conversation about, you know, music that was produced prior to recording. Anyway.
So, hey, so we've got a little...
Yeah.
We got scripture. We got a little scripture, right? You want to read Proverbs 18:2?
I love Proverbs. I love how our Proverbs are so... convicting, especially when they talk about foolish behavior,
which I have plenty of.
And this, we're just gonna put it all out there. The most convicting scripture for our podcast here, Proverbs 18:2. Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions.
Yeah,
I don't know about you, but sometimes it's ironic. If we're, you know, having a conversation between the two of us, recording it,
that it's just our opinions and we're airing our opinions.
Yeah.
Maybe we should call this fool's terms.
So I'm saying that, but it is, it's, I think that's why we throw in a lot of caveats of we're not talking down. We do genuinely try to find the understanding.
Yeah.
And I think that's the important part that differentiates on this scripture is open mindedness.
Correct.
Right. Yep. Like finding the joy in understanding is way different than being happy you were the loudest opinion in the room.
Yeah, I think my kind of thing is in all the small groups that I've ever been in or studies or whatever, right? I've almost never that I can remember, I guess we could go back and ask other people that were in the groups, but I've almost never not been open to listening to other people's interpretation of the same scripture, right? Where you're having a conversation about it and you're like, I really think this means this. And someone else is like, oh, I took it as this. And you're like, whoa, okay, let me process that information and kind of see, does that fit my understanding? Do I need to change my understanding, right? And very rarely do you just walk into a situation and go, nope, this proverb means this. And if you don't agree with me, then you're an idiot, right? You know what I mean?
A fool, Robert.
A fool, right? Yeah, you're a fool.
Fools!
And so I think that's what we try to do on the show is we try to give you a perspective of what we think, what we think something means or how we interpret something to mean. But we're always also open to anybody else's. That's why we've got the comments section. You can leave a comment if you agree or disagree or want to kind of give us your take on things. But I find this interesting because if you really go across social media's landscape today, is that the same thought process? So, you know, if somebody throws out, hey, blah, 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 you know, is going on or whatever, right? Are people really approaching that information with trying to understand it, trying to understand the truth behind it, or are they actually looking at it as full cell, you know, 100% truth right off the bat? And I think that's the rub that we're in now is that when you or I in person have a conversation, we kind of understand where we're coming from. We have some kind of relationship, some kind of connection.
Trust.
There's a little bit of trust, even in people that don't quite know each other that well, there's a little bit of trust involved in the conversation. But when you're online and there's none of that, some of those walls that you have of natural maybe curiosity get broken down, right?
Yeah, and maybe that trust, the face value trust happens more naturally for some than others and can lead to being duped.
Yeah. Yeah. So how do we thinking about this, want for understanding of things and wanting for the truth and maybe even dare say a hunger for the truth. How can we cultivate within ourselves, a want to, when we perceive information, to hunger for the truth of it, to dig deeper into something, rather than just taking stuff at face value in this world of different perspectives and different voices. And a lot of times they're competing. You know, you can read the same scripture and you've got six different people telling you it means six different things. So how do you cultivate this want for people to explore the truth in it and figure out what is the truth?
So I would say that dialing into your core beliefs, and for us in a faith-based show like this, I think you'd be dialing into your core Christian beliefs, and know that what's the thing behind the thing, right? Like, it always comes, keep tracking down the deeper meaning to the reason, right? The why behind the want. I heard a great pastor used that the other day. Just the, yeah, you find a lot of whats, but you know, focus in on the whys. You know, I think we talked about this last week on the scripture, and we're talking with Jesus and trying to provide like corrective answer. Like you've heard it said, thou shalt not murder. Well, whoever gets angry is just as guilty, right?
Right, right, right.
Well, he's trying to expose the why.
The
right?
Why behind the murder.
Like, right, yeah. It's the why. It's what's leading to it. Go deeper. And I think in our Proverbs, we have lots of wisdom from Solomon and some others, but most of it I think is from Solomon. And Solomon was awarded by God wisdom when he asked what his request was, and he asked for, you know, wisdom. And then we have these Proverbs, and I think we can use that to have an introspective to how we're processing stuff, and also, you know, follow the direction and words of Jesus. You know, you go to the New Testament and the Gospels, and we have all those red words of Jesus, and he's going to help us dig deeper into the why behind some of our whats.
Mm.
And what is the main reason?
Yeah. So a little, maybe a little fancy word for that is have a little discernment, right? Try to discern, try to figure out what is the root of it. And I too like the Proverbs. I like Proverbs and Psalms for different reasons, but I think there's nothing more timeless than Proverbs.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
Some of the stuff even in the New Testament around Jesus' time, like you kind of have to give some backstory and explain, you know, like sheep and shepherds. And, you know, we don't really have that much around our world today. So you have to do a lot of kind of digging into it to explain.
Yeah, but Solomon tells us a lot about foolishness and wisdom, right, and the wise and the foolish.
And that's never changed.
Right? Yeah.
In thousands of years, we're still fools. Mm-hmm. In some cases, and we're wise in other cases. And so, yeah, I think of any of the Bible, Proverbs is probably the most timeless that you could pick up and start reading and be like, this makes sense today as it did thousands of years ago. So really, like, we kind of want to wrap up a little bit with the people and kind of talk about three things to help in this discernment process. Whether you're reading from the Bible and you need help a little bit with discernment, or whether you're out there in social media land or technology land in general, and you need a little discernment in figuring out, you know, what is truth, right? And I think the first thing that you got to do is you got to take a moment, you know, stop for a moment. You can't get bought into it. You can't get sucked into the whirlwind. You can't let the emotions of something mm-hmm. take you. You just got to take a, you got to stop. You got to take a breath. You got to purge some of that initial reaction, whether it's positive or negative initial reaction. You got to purge some of that, right? And to be able to approach the rest of the process with a little bit of air and some levity, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, like, I'm a person who I love thought, I love philosophy, I like a good philosophical way of viewing or thinking about something, and an interesting vantage point for thought. And my friend Chris will say, that's an interesting thought. I'll have to consider that. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like,
and they kind of like, oh, well, let me know,
you know. And I think that's great. I think that's that's the conversation we just had a couple weeks ago, and I was like, man, I'm ripping that off, because A, I need to use that more,
yeah,
and B, that's like, that's the helpful advice for just taking a moment whenever you know get new information. That's interesting. I will have to consider that.
Yeah, it's great. I do that sometimes when I hear something that makes sense to me that's very different than what I thought, you know, and then I'm like, whoa, I say it like this. Yeah, I'm going to need to process that. You know, like, I'm going to need to, we could drop it now. Let's talk about something else. I'm going to need to process that for a little bit. Like, I just need to take some space, right? So take a moment.
All right, number two.
Number two, you got to consider the motive.
Always.
Right? You got to consider the motive of the person behind the thing. The motive could be altruistic, or it could be very focused. And I think that this happens in sales a lot sometimes.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? Where you hear this great thing. Oh, I'm just trying to sell you this. Well, you got to consider the motive. Like, the person wants to make a sale, right? Like, so you got to stop, take a moment, mm-hmm. consider the motive of the person.
And I think with that too, like, it's always good to consider, I think sales gets a bad rap a lot, but it's a vital part of industry, and oftentimes folks in sale, usually if it's a standard sales role, there's some commission involved.
Some
right?
compensation so, tied
well, there, up. Yeah, there's mm-hmm. compensation tied up in it. But it doesn't mean it's bad.
Right.
It just means you need to be aware of that.
Right.
Right? Like...
Yeah, no, I and as a person that's had a sales job for yeah. years, you know, you meet some really great salespeople that are really in it for the customer, like I was, just wanting somebody to have a better understanding of what they're buying before they buy it, and then you meet some bad ones, but that's life, right? Mm-hmm. That's life with any employment industry. So. Take a moment, consider the motive of the person that's giving you the information.
Or the source.
Or the source.
Whether the source may not even be a person. It could be just generated.
Yeah, it could be fake. And then I think the last one is you gotta ask the master. You gotta take a moment and ask God, ask Jesus how you should take it, how you should you know, understand it. And I think to your point earlier, if you're in your Bible and you're reading something and you're trying to get other opinions of what it may mean and you're bringing all this stuff in, well, look at the rest of the Bible to help form what makes sense, right? Because I think that you have to look at everything in a holistic manner. You can't just pick and choose a verse and say, well, this means this, right? Mm. It's really a holistic approach to life.
Yeah. Are we out of time?
Wow, that was like on the nose.
All right. Well, that's good.
What do you want to leave us with, Mitch?
Well, I want to leave you guys with happy wishes for a lovely rest of your week. And Keith and I are going to watch a video of a guy's ear flying off. We'll see if he thinks it's real. We'll report back next time.
See you later.
Bye, guys.